I ask an interest in your prayers today. It's never a light thing to handle the Word of God. The Word of God is eternal. It's truth. We're thankful for that today, but it brings a fear upon our hearts. Seems like always, I shouldn't be, but I'm amazed when I hear stories sometimes of the value that people put on things. I heard a story yesterday on the radio that someone paid over $30,000 for a lock of John Lennon's hair. I don't fully understand all of that, but someone paid over $30,000 for a lock of somebody's hair. I remember back in 1961, and I do remember this, there was a man named Roger Maris. He hit 61 home runs for the New York Yankees. The record was 60, set by Babe Ruth. And after the game was over, someone went out into the stands, and there was a fan that had the ball that Roger Maris hit. And he offered him $500 or $5,000 for it. It was a tremendous amount of money. And the fan wouldn't sell it. To me, that's where two fools met. One was a fool for offering that kind of money for a baseball, and the other one was kind of foolish for not giving it to him for that money. It's amazing what we put value on. If I had a picture up here this morning that was painted by Pablo Picasso, you heard that name? He painted a lot of pictures, and some people seem to think that it's good art. It's some of the strangest art I've ever seen in my life. If I had one of them up here, I would pretty much could defy you of even telling me what it is you're looking at. He did portraits, he did people, and it seemed like sometimes he put both eyes on the same side of the head, and one on the top, and one down here, and he just did things at random, but his paintings sell for a lot of money. Millions of dollars. He's a well-known artist. Isn't it amazing what people will put value on? It's amazing to me. I think about the Mona Lisa. We all know we've heard of the Mona Lisa. You know, you and I, with our money, if we pooled it all together, we couldn't touch buying the original, even if it was for sale. But you can get a reprint of it. You can get a reprint of it, and it don't cost a whole lot of money to buy something that's not the original. But I want to talk about something this morning that's very dear to our hearts. Original, something original. Something that is valuable. I want to talk about the greatest haven on earth. You know what the greatest haven on earth is? It's the Church of God. That's the greatest haven on earth, is God's church. Because God instituted it, His Son paid the price for it, and it was founded on a rock. To me, now that's something valuable. That's something I want to get a hold of. It's something that I want to understand. It's something that I want to know more and more about it. Not the things that are popular in the world, the things that the world considers valuable. This is more valuable than gold and silver. It doesn't fluctuate in price like those two items do. But this has a set price. And it's a price that you and I've got to pay if we want to get or be born again into the church of the living God. I talk about the church a lot. It's a special place to me, and I thank God for it. It's because it's the reason you and I can come together here this morning and enjoy the blessings of salvation. I was thinking of the song that we sang a bit ago called Following Jesus. Do you know what Jesus was like? Do you know anything about Him? Do you know that He was a meek and lowly Lamb of God? Do you know He didn't go about cursing and lying and stealing and cheating and shooting and murdering and killing and all? He didn't go around doing those kind of things. But yet people want to sit around and talk about following Jesus. Folks, I'm not talking about walking in His literal footsteps, but I'm talking about following Him for the man that He was, for the example that He was to you and I. If we're truly following Jesus, we should be living the life of Christ, shouldn't we? If we're truly following Jesus. People sing these things, talk about these things lightly. But folks, they have a special meaning to God. They have a special meaning to God. And He's put forth His Son and sent Him into the world that you and I could be saved. And that you and I could live and walk in the same paths that Jesus walked. Have the same conduct, live the same kind of life that Jesus did. As far as our attitudes and as far as our behavior and how that we conduct ourselves in this world. I'd like to look at a scripture. It's found in Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus speaking here. Matthew 11 and verse 7, I'll begin. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. Talking about John the Baptist. What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? He asked them that three times, didn't he? What are you looking for? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, there and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I wonder what people are really looking for today. Do we judge by the side of the eye? What precepts do we use? What criteria do we use in whether we are going to listen to someone or follow someone or accept what that individual has to say? What is our criteria? What are we looking for? I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're looking for something in particular, you're probably going to find it. It may not be the church. It may not be Christ. But if there's something you're looking for and you feel like that it's valuable to you and it's something that you really want, I'm here to tell you this morning, the devil will be right there to see to it that you find it. And he'll see to it that you not only find it, but you embrace it and you accept it and you believe it. And he'll give you, as the old saying is, hook, line, and sinker. And he'll draw you right in. So really it comes down to each one of us individually. What are you looking for? What am I looking for? Jesus said, would you go out there to see? You heard about John the Baptist. You know the things that he was doing. He went out there and he was wearing camel's hair and rough raiment, and he was eating locusts and wild honey. Would you go out to see? What was you looking to find? I want us to consider this morning that whatever we're looking for, we look for it with an honest heart, with a heart that is open, that God can talk to our hearts. I'm thinking about what is happening in our world today, and specifically right here in this country. The proponents or the people that are running for office to be president of this United States, and I'm not going to get political here, but one of the things that they are debating about is immigration and letting people into our country. And one of the problems that they seem to have with that is that people want to come in our country. They want to bring their past. They want to bring their beliefs. They want to bring what they stand for. And they want to bring their language. They want to bring their religion. Folks, at one time, the United States was known and was a Christian nation. But it is now a hodgepodge and a mixture of all kinds of religions today. In other words, when you come into our country, we want to know that you will come into our country and that you will assimilate and become American. That you will accept our standard of life, the way that we believe, the constitution that we live by, that you will assimilate to that, and that you don't, that you're not coming here to try to change it. Folks, when you enter in by being born again into the church of God, you don't change the church of God. You will either assimilate to the life of Christ, and you will humble yourself, and you will be what God is requiring you to be out of His Word, or you won't be in the church of God. It isn't a matter of building a wall. It isn't a matter of building a bridge. It isn't a matter of a man saying you can or you can't. But it is a matter that God in His written Word has defined for you and I, how you and I are to live and walk and live a holy life in this world. And if you don't want to assimilate to that, if you don't want to humble yourself and accept that, then you won't be a part of the church of God. And folks, we all know man doesn't put you in the church and man doesn't put you out of the church. Salvation puts you in the church. Sin puts you out of the church, doesn't it? This is a haven. It's a haven of rest. And it's a haven of safety. And folks, you and I must. Those of us that want to stand for truth and right. Truth is going to stand whether you stand for it or not. But Lord, help us to stand for the truth. Stand with the truth. Truth is light, and untruth is darkness. Sin is darkness. And I'm thankful for the light of God, folks, that He shines down in the heart of a man that helps you and I to understand and be able to and assimilate and be able to see God and accept Him for the holiness of who He is and the righteousness of who He is. I put great value on those things. I don't put great value on a lock of hair. I don't put great value on a baseball. I don't put great value on automobiles. You can pay a lot of money for some automobiles out there, from the Rolls Royce and the Maseratis and all the way down through those things. You and I probably never have one of those, and I have no desire to have one of those. But I do desire to have Christ. I do desire to have Him, folks. what's it going to take for me to have him? As I said earlier, what you're looking for, you're likely going to find. If you have some kind of a preconceived idea of what you want, if you have some kind of a preconceived idea that I want $2 or $3 worth of Jesus, just enough to make me feel good, but when it comes down to the life that He's requiring me to live, I'm not willing to live that kind of a life. I'm not willing to put those things away. Folks, that is the problem with people today. They're not willing to give up the world. They're not willing to give up the things that they value so greatly in their life. When this young man came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord told him to keep the commandments. "I keep the commandments. I've kept them all from my youth up." But when he told him to sell all that he had, that's what the young man wasn't willing to do. The man had a lot of goods. Do you know? And I'll be very specific, and when I tell you what the Bible says and when I give you an opinion of mine, but the opinion that I have is that America is still the best country in the world to live in. We still, our freedoms are quickly being taken away. And this nation has changed greatly. If you take your grandchildren 20 years old and downward, actually we could probably go 30 years old, so some of our children too, downward, they don't know the things that you and I know about this nation. They don't know how we survived and down through the years when this nation was worshiping God, when this nation stood for truth, when people was able to trust one another. They don't know about those kind of things. But we live in the millennium generation? The young generation? That's what they call them today, right? Millennium? We call them the young people, the millennium. Folks, they don't know what it's like. They don't have an understanding of what it means. The Bible principles have not been placed in their hearts, and they don't understand what it means to live a holy life, and they will laugh in your face if you try to tell them the Bible teaches holiness. But it does. And you're only going to find it in the haven of rest. In this safe haven. The greatest haven on earth, folks, that's been given to you and I, and that's the Church of the Living God. The Bible doesn't talk about another church. There's many imitations out there, isn't there? Many people trying to imitate the church. People going and worshiping and picking up their ideas and following a man and following people and following man's doctrines and doctrines of devils and those kind of things the Bible speaks about. And yet, because they have following those things, their vision is clouded. And they cannot truly see what the church even looks like. I'm not finished with that text, but I want to read you another scripture. Found in 1 John, the 4th chapter. Now there's a lot of religious people out there today. Most people claim to be religious. They claim to be following Jesus. But I want to read to you what John says here in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, saints, that's you and I. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What does that tell us? Doesn't that tell you and I that there's a lot of false teaching out there in the world? There's a lot of men and women out there teaching things that are false. But John is telling you now, he's giving us something to go by. What are you going out there to see? What are you looking for? What are you trying to find? John says that when you see the things that you see, try the spirits. Try the spirits, whether they're of God. You know, there's places out there, I know, that are teaching some good things. There's people, there's places out there that are teaching bad things. But if I go to any one of those, you know what I'm going to do? It's not their doctrines. It's not what they're teaching that I'm really going to place my judgment on, my personal judgment. I'm going to try the Spirit. And if I walk into a place that may be holding up 95% of what the Bible teaches, and yet they are so strong on other things that the Bible doesn't teach, and I don't see the Spirit of God operating there, I don't want any part of it. That's how I know whether something is true or whether something is false, if the Spirit of God is not there blessing and anointing what's going on in that place. Folks, we need the Lord to bless. We need the Lord's anointing. And we need His blessings in our place. Folks, whenever I see the Spirit of God tells me that He's putting His approval on that, that He's a blessing that He's accepting what's being done there, then I can accept it too. And when His Spirit blends with my spirit and my spirit blends with His Spirit, then I can know that it is truth, and that's the only way that I can know. But yet people are going out there today following all kinds of teachings and doctrines, following all kinds of men and women, and getting wrapped up into those things and caught up into those things. And all they're meant for is to lead them away from the haven of rest. To lead them away from the one true church. You know, we don't have a lot of folks here. Of course, some of us are missing this morning. There's a lot of sickness. We got a lot of little congregations among us. But when we come together at Monarch for the national meeting, and not everybody's there, but I've seen upwards of 1,000 people there. When we come together, all the little congregations come together and come to worship the Lord. It isn't about numbers. It's about quality. It's about those that have humbled themselves. And they're following Jesus on His terms. You know, the young man that came to Jesus and said he'd kept all of His commandments from the youth up. Basically, he knew what the commandments were. But he basically was willing to follow on His terms. But when he was told to sell everything and get rid of all they had, give to the poor, and come and take up your cross and follow me, he wasn't willing to do that. The Bible said he went away sorrowful. People come to the place where they see what it means to follow Jesus. It means to take on His nature. It means to take on His character. It means to take on His doctrines. We've been talking about doctrines here the last few weeks, Bible study and so forth. It means to take on the nature of Christ. People are not willing. When they come to the understanding of the realization what it really means for them, there's things I want to hold on to. There's things of the world that are more important to me. I just can't let it go. But I've got to tell you this morning, those things that I thought were valuable, those things that you thought were valuable, that was fuel for the burning, you got to let them go. If you want to follow Christ. If you want to get in this haven, this safe haven, you got to let them go. And folks, God has designed for you and I a way to know to go. He's designed a way that we know where to go, how to go, and who to follow. Who do we follow? Jesus Christ. We follow His Spirit. When we feel the moving of His Spirit, we can feel that. You can feel the moving of His Spirit. You can know that He's real. Jesus comes and He lives within you and I, doesn't He? That's what the Bible says. He comes and lives within you and I. And if He's living in you and I, we're not dead, but we're alive in Christ. And there ought to be some life there. There ought to be some life there. There ought to be something there that others can look on and see Christ. Others can look on and acknowledge, I don't know what you're doing, I don't know how they're doing it, but those folks are following Jesus. They got something special. I remember one time I was involved in a funeral. I had to do a funeral somewhere. I was asked by the family, and it was a very sticky situation. And I was begging the Lord for mercy and helping me to know how to deal with it. And after the funeral was over, I had a young man stand in front of me and point his finger at me. And he said, they told me down here that you was a man that spoke the truth. And he said, I was sitting there just waiting to see if you were going to tell the truth. And he said, I don't know how you did it, but you did it. I don't know how you did it, but I was just waiting to see if you were going to tell the truth. You did it. And I said, no, wasn't me that did it. It was the Lord that did it. Folks, when we have the Lord in our hearts, He works in us. He works with us. He works within us. And He said He would lead us and guide us into the truth, didn't He? When we have the Lord in our hearts. Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everything you hear, folks. Try the Spirit. If you believe that it's from God, then you accept it. But He said there's many false prophets that are going out into the world. Be careful. My exhortation to you is be careful of what you believe and who you believe. Don't want no one following me. I want folks to follow Christ. I want folks to follow His teachings. So Jesus is talking about John here. John the Baptist was misunderstood. He was the forerunner of Christ. I'm going back to my Matthew here. He was the forerunner of Christ, and He opened up the kingdom of heaven to sinners. He told them the axe is laid at the root of the tree. He told them there was someone coming that was greater than He, come to be the Savior of the world. He was the culminating point. Basically, if you think about it, if you consider it this morning, John the Baptist was the last of Old Testament prophets. Because Christ came and brought in the New Testament, the New Church, the New Jerusalem. He was the last. He was the stepping stone. He was the forerunner of Christ. I'll say it this way for you and I this morning. The weakest believer. You know, Jesus said, except you become as little children. The weakest one among us that has the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is more privileged today than the greatest of all the old prophets. We're more privileged than all the old prophets. Because of what Jesus came to bring you and I. Jesus said, after He asked them what they went out to see, in verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, I speak to that just a little bit. God's people are not violent people. Jesus was not violent. As I said, Scripture says He was the meek and lowly Lamb of God. You and I are to take on that character. But I'm here to tell you also this morning that the devil did and always has and always will hate the true church of God. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it, but it will not stop hell from trying to bring it down. That means that you and I, if we want to stand with this, and we want this to be our haven of rest and our place of refuge and our place of safety, we're going to have to fight violently for it. I don't mean we fight one another, folks. It means we fight against the enemy of our souls. We fight to hold this truth. As the government, as the Supreme Court goes about changing our values, changing the way that we once perceived things, as society that you and I live in today goes about taking away truths, going about trying to tear down the doctrines that Christ brought to you and I, doctrines of holiness, doctrines of godliness, doctrines of one man and one woman. Let me tell you about the Supreme Court. They're not. God is supreme. His Word is supreme. Jesus said in John 12:48, "The words that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day." There won't be one Supreme Court justice there to judge you. But they'll be there to be judged. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is the Christ. Isn't that right? But yet man has exalted himself and lifted himself up, put himself over other men for one purpose. To control them. They just want to control us. They want us put their opinions and their ideas on you and I and tell us that we've got to live the way they think we ought to live. Folks, here's the way God says that we ought to live. It's founded right here in the Word of God. Man's going to take back seat. He takes back seat in my mind and in my heart and life. Men have hazarded their lives for the gospel. Many have been martyred and put to death. And they say there's more being martyred and put to death today than there ever was before, because they name the name of Christ. Lord, help us. The violence is going to have to take it by force. Jesus said in the 15th verse, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." I pray God to open up our ears. The ears of our heart. When Jesus reminds us to be sure to hear what He has to say, it tells me that it's very important to my eternal soul. It's very important. But He goes on to hear, goes on to say, verse 16, "Whereunto shall I liken this generation?" That's His generation. We live in another generation. Although it's still the generation of the gospel of Christ. It's still that generation. But we live in another generation of people. And Jesus said here, "Where shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, and saying, 'We piped unto you, and ye have not danced, and we mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children.'" What are you looking for? What are you basing your principles on? What are you basing your salvation on? What are you basing your soul on? You willing to gamble your soul? I'm not. I want to have something that I know is peace and joy. I want to live and dwell in a place of refuge, a place of safety. that all these spirits and all these things that are out there in our world and surrounded, we're surrounded by them and the influences. Folks, humans are pretty susceptible to influence. We've got to take this thing by force. Don't let those influences get a hold of you. Don't let those influences try to lead you astray. Try to take you astray. They said, John, he's devil possessed. Why? He's got a devil. And Jesus, he's a friend of sinners. Remember, he said, what'd you go out there to see? What are you looking for this morning? I want to tell you, if you don't have an honest and an open heart to God and His Word and a spirit, the devil will see to it. You'll find something. You'll find something. But it'll probably be false. It probably won't be the thing that you should be getting a hold of. You're going to find something. Here's John, forerunner of Christ, telling everybody that he must increase and I must decrease. Here comes Jesus eating with sinners. It isn't what we see with our natural eyes, is it? But we've got to know this thing in our heart, folks. We got to know in our hearts. We got to know this in our heart of hearts. There's so much fallacy out in our world today. There's so much the enemy has to lead us astray. There's a song in our book. I'm going to read some of it. I've used it before in messages. It's number 25, The Church of God. I believe this song was given to D.S. Warner by the Holy Spirit. I believe that. Keep in mind, there's a lot of imitations. There's a church building on just about every corner, it seems like, in some places. Lots of them. Some people go to church out of convenience. It's close. Some people go to church because their friends go to church there. Some people go to church there because they were raised in that church and that's what they've been taught all their lives. Can I tell you something about Church of God? It's Catholic. Whoa. You know what Catholic means? It means universal. Is it part of the Catholic Church? No, it is not. It's not part of that institution at all, in any way, shape, or form. But it is universal because it takes in every blood-washed one. That's what the word means, folks. Look it up. Look it up. It takes in every blood-washed one. But there's many imitations. Now, I've given you some reasons why people go to the churches that they go to. Are any of those reasons a good reason for your soul? No, they're not. But I challenge every one of us this morning, try the spirits, whether they be of God. That's where the rubber is. Try the spirits. Churches today, some of them don't even use the Bible. Some of them believe that their responsibility and their duty is to teach people how to live together sociably, how to get along with one another. That's what church is. To have a good social time, just to have good fellowship. But when it comes to worshiping the one true God, there's no spirit there whatsoever. And the sister, I believe, said in her prayer this morning, we come here to worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus said that we would come to do. Neither in Jerusalem nor here in this mountain. But we can come here to this little old chapel on 610 Race Street in Springfield, Ohio, and worship God in spirit and truth. Why? Because we have Him within our hearts. We have His Spirit with us. You don't have anything to worship God with. I don't have anything to worship God with except He give it to me first. Except I receive it from Him first. Then I got something to worship Him with. I got a spirit. And I can worship Him in spirit and truth. The words, Church of God, thou spotless virgin. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? Spotless. From what? From sin. Oh, you can't live without sin. Everybody sins a little more or less every day. Ain't what the Bible teaches. John said, he that sinneth is of the devil. Suppose I go out here and do a little sinning, and the next thing I know, I'm like the man that I went to his funeral a couple weeks ago. Died immediately. Wasn't even sick. Suppose that happens. Is that the chance you want to take? We don't have to take that kind of chance, folks. Salvation's not chancy. It's real. It's real. Church of God. The haven that I've been talking about this morning. Thou spotless virgin. There's no other like her. There never will be. One church, one God, one Lord. Church of Christ for whom He died. Thou hast known no human founder. Folks, people set up their little congregations. I was reading the names on the front of church buildings coming here this morning. And this church has this name. This church has that name. And not any of them says anything about the Church of God. And that's the only one the Bible speaks of. It's the only one the Bible speaks of. And you know what? You can contest me if you want to. It's the only one He'll put His Spirit in. It's the only one He'll bless. It is. No human founder. Jesus bought thee for His bride. Sanctified by God the Father. Built by Jesus Christ the Son. Tempered by the Holy Spirit like the Holy Three in One. Folks, let me remind you. When you come down to draw your last breath and leave this world, and every one of us here has been made familiar with death, we all know someone close to us probably that has died and left this world. And as a tree falls, that's how it's going to lie. That's how we're going to wake up on the other side with what I've got here. How my life, my example. Paul says in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and I think verse 8, somewhere in there, he says that every man give an account of the deeds done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. What do we go to church for? What do people go to church for? What is it that motivates them? It's the value of their soul, I hope. Because that's the most valuable possession that we have, is my soul. That I'm going to give an account of myself before God. You see, these things become a reality to us when life gets that like that, doesn't it? I've done so many funerals in my life, more than I care to remember. But folks, it's a reality. It's a part of life. Death is a part of life. It's a part of life. tempered by the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Three in One. Tempered brings a unity, a oneness that unifies the hearts of God's people, the Holy Spirit. God Himself set the members in the body, organized by Jesus only. Oh, the union, pure and sweet. Church of God, the angels marvel at the music of thy song. Earth and hell and terror tremble as thy army moves along. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence. The violent must take it by force. Are we willing to do that today? Church of God, beloved city, thou art of celestial mold. Lo, from God and out of heaven came the city of pure gold. Stones of jasper, clear as crystal, is the building of thy wall, and the Lamb, thy light forever, Jesus, Jesus, all in all. God's own holiness within thee, His own beauty on thy brow. You want to see something beautiful this morning? Look at the Church of God. Beautiful for situation. It's a place of refuge. A place where love envelops each and every one of us. It's a place of nearness to the God of heaven. It's a place where we can worship and reverent and honor and lift Him up and glorify Him. People think they're here to get everything they can get out of life, and after life's over, that's it. Folks, I got news for them. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. Last verse, Church of God in heaven written, thine the risen life of Christ, and the treasures to thee given never, never can be priced. Far above this world's confusion, walking closely by Jesus' side, leaning on His loving bosom is the church, His chosen bride. Now, I realize that anyone and everyone can believe what they want to believe. I choose to believe that the Church of God is Christ's chosen bride. I believe I made a comment Wednesday night in our little Bible study, when the Lord comes back, He's not coming back after denominations. He's coming back after individuals. And He's going to separate the sheep and the goats. Sheep on the right, the goats on the left. He's going to do that one of these days, isn't He? Lord, help us to be ready. You and I are blessed to have the greatest haven on earth, right here on earth. And I don't know about you, but I take offense when someone wants to add to it or take away from it. Because she's pure, she's holy, and she's perfect just as she is. God made her that way. You and I, if we want to be a part of it, that's probably the problem with the church world today. People don't want to assimilate. They don't want to humble down and be a true child of God. They don't want to take on the nature of Christ. They don't want to live that holy life. There's too many fun things to do that they don't want to give up in life. So they're not willing to assimilate and humble themselves to be a part of God's church, of God's people here on earth. The church cannot, listen, you cannot, man cannot redefine the church. As much as he's trying, and as much as he would like to, he cannot redefine what the Bible teaches. You can get confused with it once you come out to see. folks went out there and they saw John the Baptist carrying on with his camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey. So he's a madman. He's possessed by the enemy, by the devil. Got a devil. Let's come out here and see. This man's a prophet. But he also said, you and I, least in the kingdom of God, is greater than he. Greater than John the Baptist. Folks, there's room for every one of us, isn't there? There's room for us. There's room for more. I don't know about you, but I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. I want to tell you there's room for anyone that wants to go. You know that, I haven't used this for a while, but it seems to be coming to my mind. Old David Ring, a speaker, he said, God's in the kitchen, and he has me in the oven. One of these days he's going to take me out of that oven and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear those words? Sure we do. Sure we want to hear those words. For everlasting and everlasting, we can go into the kingdom of God. We can go to heaven and be with God forever. Where Jesus is the light, there's no darkness there. Why is it heaven, folks? Do you know why heaven's heaven? Because God's there. God's there. There'll be no spot or wrinkle. There'll be no blemish in God's heaven. People look at you and say, oh, you think you're perfect? I'm not talking about our human weaknesses. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about the intent to sin and to do wrong and try to get by. That ain't going to get there. It ain't going to get there. But we deal with a merciful God, don't we? We deal with a God that says this in Hebrews 4 and 12. He said, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible. Not the preacher, the Bible. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Boy, the Word of God gets right down where we are, doesn't it? He knows what we're thinking. He knows the intents. He knows our motives. Why we do the things that we do. For some reason on the news this morning, they said a man up in Michigan went out about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening, and just drove around the city and shot and killed 6 people randomly. A man and his son in a parking lot looking at cars. A car lot looking at cars. People coming out of restaurants and buildings, and he just drive by, shoot them, kill them, go on. It's an unstable world we live in, folks. It's a very unstable world. We just don't know, do we? I don't know what his motive is. God does. I don't know why a person, well, I know the devil caused him to do it. You know the old saying we used to use years ago, the devil made me do it. Well, he did. He certainly did. It wasn't because he had God in his heart. He certainly wouldn't have done something like that, would he? There is neither, the 13th verse says, neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I want to leave you with this thought, folks. The devil would love to destroy the very fabric of what makes up the church of God. He would love to destroy it. And he's working to do that. So the responsibility falls on our shoulders to see to it that we don't let that happen. That we always uphold truth and righteousness and a holy life, because that's what the Bible teaches. I could take you over, but I'm going to stop right here. But I want you to look at what the church of God is, what it is, the kingdom of God. In Ephesians, the second chapter, you can read verses 11 through 22. I tell you what it brings, what it gives us. It gives us a city to live in. It gives us a family to dwell with, doesn't it? The city of God, the family of God. And it gives us a building. It gives us a building, not these concrete walls, but the building of God. A foundational building built upon Jesus Christ. A safe haven. A place of love where all the redeemed in Christ, including the Jews and the Gentiles, which was such a trouble, problem back in those days, that we can all be members. We can all be a part of the household of faith, the household of God. I thank the Lord today for this haven. Thank the Lord for the church of God. I want to say something. It seems like the Lord's put this on our hearts. In closing, believe me, I'm going to stop here. There are two types, basic types of ministry here on this earth that are at work today. The ministry of condemnation. The ministry of condemnation compels people to draw upon their own sufficiency. You see it? We don't need God. We're sufficient within ourselves. And then there is a ministry of righteousness, which the Bible teaches, which allows people to draw upon God's sufficiency. Aren't you thankful for that? The ministry of righteousness that allows, it doesn't compel or force us, but it allows us to draw upon God's sufficiency. Paul said, our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it is of God. Folks, I'm thankful for the one pure, true church today. I intend to give my life for it. And I ask that God would help me to always have a vision of what it is. Always be able to see it. You know, there is a militant church here on this earth. That's us. That's why we've got to take this thing by force. That's the visible church here on earth. The militant church. Yet, it is the church triumphant. And I'm thankful today for all of God's goodness and blessings that He's made a place, even in the midst of all the turmoil. You know, my happiness doesn't depend on what's going on around me. It depends on my relationship with God. It depends on the peace that I have in my soul. Let's pray for one another. Let's be encouraged, folks. God has provided us a special blessing, a place where we can dwell together in happiness. Amen.